kind of an interesting and tough day because of both the combination of the weather and with all the other issues going around in town. Let me say thank you to our two ministers for coming. I always do this because, you know, for being such a sophisticated country, you know, we tend to get overly preoccupied with only one issue at a time. It's like we can't handle anything more than one, you know, at a time. And right now, everything is Iraq. And the rest of the world is out there, and there's so many important structural things we need to be working on, and yet we don't have the attention span in this town to do that unless we have prominent visitors that come to help us. And so I sincerely thank you. You're doing us a favor by coming to Washington and helping us focus on this subject. I have to say a hearty welcome to Gordon England. Gordon is, of course, the Deputy Secretary of Defense. Before that, he was the Secretary of the Navy. He took a little breather to be the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security, and because he's been in, and he was the Secretary of the Navy before that. And for a man who has earned a full right to a private life, he still continues serving his country. And I'm so grateful that you're doing that, Gordon. Thank you, and thank you for coming today. I think your presence today indicates the importance of this, of the topic, and what we want to discuss today. Colleagues, our two ministers are here in significant measure in order to advance the ideas and the dreams that Albania and Macedonia have for a wider membership in the European community, and especially in NATO. And this is a very important issue for all of us. Us Americans, it's in our interests for us to explore these issues with them together. I will say you are seeing evidence of a great bipartisanship because, of course, His Excellency Medio is the head of the Republican Party, and Mr. Alinovsky is the head of the Democratic Party, and so we're seeing bipartisanship. Of course, quite different.
I'm caught in the middle.
And you're caught in the middle, and Gordon is in the middle, like he is in every congressional hearing. So I think this is a familiar posture for the Deputy Secretary of Defense. But I must say I've come to that stage in life where I no longer resent the fact that the world leaders are younger than I am. You know, I mean, I think this is something that was. I used to resent, but I no longer do. What we're going to do today, we're going to start first with the Albanian Minister of Defense, Fatmir Mediu. He is one of the young rising stars, head of the Republican Party. He has grown into this large position in such a short time, which tells you the measure of the content of his character and his ability. And so we'll begin, I think. And I've asked each of our colleagues to take about 10 minutes to offer some comments. We'll first begin with Albania, and then we'll hear from Minister Alinovsky. And then we will take a few minutes with Gordon, and then we want you all to be the real center of this because it's your questions that are going to make the quality of this session. And so let me, without any further delay, and I again want to say thank you. These are opportunities that we seek, and you're going to help us here in the United States. And I'm very proud to be able to introduce to you now His Excellency, the Honorable Fatmir Mediu, the Defense Minister of Albania. Please, Minister. Why don't you speak from up here?
Thank you very much, Dr. Hamry. You said too fast in the position. I've been waiting with my wife 8 years in opposition to get this seat, but fighting a lot. And thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak in this distinguished audience and putting some of my thoughts on the topics of the importance for all of us and especially for our countries, NATO in 21st century, Albania, Macedonia, Croatia. We are two here, but I believe we are three. The Minister Rončević wanted to be with us. We had a discussion in December in A3 meeting in Tirana to be all together in Washington, but because of certain other engagement of Minister Rončević, he's not present. But I think we share the same thing, the same ideas, the same approach on these issues. And we learn a lot from one another, especially learning from Croatian experiences is something great. We had a great pleasure to be together in December, so we decided to come here together with Minister Alinovsky to get a chance to meet with people. Yesterday we had a chance to meet, have a meeting with Secretary England and Secretary Gates, and then having a chance to be in White House, even shortly meeting with the Secretary Condoleezza Rice and meeting a lot of senators and the members of the House. And we show great support, great deal of support for Albania, for Macedonia, for Croatia. But this gives us a lot of responsibility in our shoulder to justify this support and doing the right things, because the time is short. We need to prioritize our goals and also to find out the action plan that we can work in order to meet all the so-called NATO standards in order to receive the invitation for NATO membership by 2008. And I came here from a visit in ACT Command, Allied Command for Transformation, with a lesson learned, 3D, diplomacy, development, defense. And I think this works not just for the NATO, but works for each of our country. And I think we have to focus and trying to work with all the institutions in the country to meet the necessary request to receive this invitation. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we all share the same opinion that the world today is quite different from the world of the past. New global threats are emerging and the old ones are disappearing. The new threats need new means and joint efforts to be faced. One thing is for sure, that no country can provide for its security in isolation. In this context, NATO remains a political military alliance of democratic nations who share common values, ideals, and responsibilities of the security. And this is very, very important for our countries. These values have not changed. Democracy and freedom, liberty and justice are all the challenges every day. We have witnessed the fact that in the last years, new countries have joined NATO. NATO's ongoing enlargement process has been an historic success in advancing stability, peace, and cooperation in Europe, and as President Bush's vision for Europe all free and at peace. The Riga Summit Declaration was a clear message in recognizing the efforts of the A3 country, Croatia, Albania, Macedonia, in preparing themselves for the responsibilities and obligations of membership, the increasing contributions to international peacekeeping and security operation, as well as the common efforts to advance regional cooperation. I take this opportunity to once again express our thanks and appreciation to the United States of America, President Bush, and to all other NATO members. A special thanks goes to you, Secretary England, for the great support you have given to us, and especially for the great friendship. Thank you very much. I really appreciate that. For Albania, this declaration is of great importance because, first, Albania is recognized as a serious NATO candidate. This means recognition of our efforts and progress in meeting the criteria for membership. In fact, Albania has been acting, so I do believe, as de facto ally on all the NATO actions. And second, the declaration reaffirms that neither size of a country or nor its geographical location will be an obstacle to eventual entry to NATO. Third, a date has been set for the next summit. This means that in 2008, NATO members will have to consider the invitation for future enlargement. What brought us to this moment? First, reforms. For us, NATO membership is not only a matter of open doors, a goodwill. We don't want to get anything for granted. It is a coordinated national effort for meeting practical membership requirements and standards. We have been strengthening and consolidating our democratic system and undertaking far-reach reforms, and especially thanks to the support that in the defense reform we have got from the United States and from the DOD especially, I think we are progressing in the right direction. The development and consolidation of the democratic state on whose foundation stands the fundamental rights and freedoms of the individual. Restoration of the rule of law so that the laws are fully and equally enforced for everyone and uprooting of the system of corruption. A rapid balance and sustainable growth of economic and human resources. Clearly, the successful implementation of reforms, I believe, has put Albania on a solid footing. Second, stability. Improvement in the stability of the region that provides a context to the violence of some years ago. Still, the region is very fragile. We consider NATO enlargement as a process characterized by the development of strong cooperation and partnership with neighboring countries. Albania has been, and it is, a factor of stability in Western Balkans, contributing along with the other countries in the area for the creation of community in our part of the Balkans, where good neighborly relations can be developed. In this context, we welcome with open heart and support the new Partnership for Peace countries from the region. Riga Summit has another great achievement, inviting for the Partnership for Peace Serbia, Bosnia and Herzegovina, and Montenegro. And we try to move in this direction as well. In September, we had CETA meeting in Tirana. I was honored to host Secretary Rumsfeld and other ministers of defense. And we decided in this meeting to give the observer status to CETAM, which is Southeast Defense Ministerial, to Serbia, Montenegro, and also to Bosnia and Herzegovina. So it looks that all the region now is included on the process. And I hope with the solution of Kosovo, we are not going to have any black holes anymore in the region. The Albanian government believes that the solution of the final status of Kosovo will bring much more security and stability to the region. The final status must assure full respect for the rights and freedom of Serbs and other minorities in Kosovo, especially ensuring their religion and historical heritage. In my opinion, the independence based on such rules and procedures is the solution. The Adriatic Charter has already shown to be a very intensive regional cooperation aimed to achieving our common goals, NATO membership, and the lasting peace, security, and stability and prosperity of the region. Thanks to this, we are actively participating in peace operation in Afghanistan with a joint medical team from the A3 countries, a mission we are committed to continue. We are committed to continue also with the presence of our troops in Iraq and also planning to extend our presence there. CDEM was a success story. Deploying SIBRIC Headquarter Command in Afghanistan was a success story, and after the CDEM meeting, we also considered the redeployment, also the sizing of the deployment, getting some of lessons learned, where some caveats or shortages were, and I think we are all on the same focus now to go again in Afghanistan. Thanks to Riga, we are one step closer to the further enlargement. Now it is up to us to make sure that we are ready for it, for membership in NATO, which we all are working, and that's the goal of our people. At the political level, I'm happy to mention and say that NATO integration enjoys the full support and consensus of all political parties. I'm happy to be here today with two distinguished members of the Parliament, the chairman of National Security Committee, Mr. Demi, which belongs to the ruling party, and also with Mr. Malay, the former Minister of Finance, which belongs to the opposition, which are here to support. But I don't want to forget that I have my daughter here, Semela, which is also giving a support to me as well on this work. We are working hard to meet the requirements of the Membership Action Plan, a process that involves the participation of both executive and legislative branches of government, as well as all political parties and wider civil society. The Albanian government is working hard to strengthen the state democratic institution, advancing the rule of law, and achieve better results in the fighting against organized crime, corruption, and illicit trafficking. The law, nothing but the law, in service of the citizens, has been driving force for our government, and results have already been achieved. So far, many criminal organizations and several other smuggling and criminal groups have been destroyed and their bosses handed over to justice. The policy of zero tolerance against organized crime and corruption is and will remain the motto of our government. It is a continuous effort. This is true also for corruption. New ethical standards have been established in the Albanian administration. There has been a dramatic fall in the perception of government's corruption, which has fallen from about 77-80% to 22-23%. There has been an increase of income from taxes and duties, which testifies the fiscal evasion and smuggling have received a significant blow. We are also working and trying to work hard on having good budget, which will serve to the interest of the country in building strong economy. On the other side, the institution I am directly responsible, the defense, is now engaged in a transformation process, a transformation based not just on the change of military structures, but primarily on the change of mentality and the mindset to build a NATO-oriented force with the right capabilities and values for meeting the requirements needed for membership. Special focus is being given to the operational capabilities. Therefore, we are working to put into practice one of the key decisions made by Riga Summit, to develop 8% of land component deployable simultaneously and 40% of the total force for NATO-led operation with rotation. Our planning is working hard, reaching objectives to develop especially niche capabilities that NATO needs the most. What we have identified and NATO is in need are specialized niche capabilities such as those of Special Forces, Commando, EOD, Military Police, CIMIC, etc. In addition to that, Albania will provide a full NATO-certified battalion of the Rapid Reaction Brigade for NATO-led missions out of area in 2007. NATO strategy concept is the basic document for the transformation of the force. Interoperability with the NATO forces is another priority of the reform of the armed forces. Our goal is to have a smaller, a fully professional force by 2010, a well-trained and motivated force. Special focus has been given to the training, readiness, and sustainability of the forces. Albania has participated in several joint exercises, as well as hosted many such activities on its own territory. We are also aware that the military strength and cohesion of the alliance are based on a fair sharing of costs and responsibilities. In this respect, the financial burden we are taking on order in order to modernize the Albanian armed forces in full support of our commitment. The Albanian government is strongly committed to meet the cost related to the NATO integration to reach the NATO accepted 2% of the GDP for defense budget by 2008. It was planned for 2010. Right now we are 184%. And maintaining the same level of commitment till 2020 through a long-term modernization plan. Another aspect of our commitment to shoulder and share responsibilities in order to contribute to transatlantic security is our active and growing participation in international peace operations, especially those NATO-led and global coalition against terror. Our soldiers are already deployed in the Althea operation in Bosnia-Herzegovina, in the NATO ISAF operation in Afghanistan, and Iraqi Freedom operation of the international coalition against terrorism, and we are committed to stay there as far as long the Americans will be there. Recently, we are considering extension of participation in NATO-led operation in Afghanistan. We're having some discussions about Iraq and also the participation in UN-led mission in Lebanon. I take this opportunity to express once again our gratitude for the precious support NATO, its member countries, and especially the United States, have provided to the Albanian Armed Forces. And I'm confident that the continued support for our country will provide in the future full support for the membership. Ladies and gentlemen, our motivation to join NATO remains unchanged. We wish to join an organization based on the shared values of democracy, individual liberty, and the rule of law, as well as to be part of region stability and security, which only NATO can guarantee. Membership, therefore, represents the strategic objectives of our defense and security policy. Albania considers the invitation to join NATO a serious indication of trust and full understanding and the obligation it is accepting in this context. We believe that every country, no matter what its the size or economic resources, can contribute substantially to the fight against threats and also to international security. And Albania is committed to continuing the ongoing reforms to its national defense system. We are ready to further develop and improve our military capabilities in the years to come. Collective security and defense means collective responsibility and burden sharing. And based on these responsibilities and based on this working to fulfill the goals of the Albanian citizens but also the people in the Balkan region, we are here today. And we'll be here again, we'll be again with Minister Elenovsky and Minister Roncevic next week in Estonia, and we're going to be also in Germany together. I'm forgetting that I'm having elections in my country going on, so thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Minister Medillo. And we're delighted that your daughter, Samina, can be here. Thank you. Glad you could come. I forgot to say, ladies and gentlemen, that we've given little cards. The way we're going to handle the questioning period here is I'd ask you to write them out on cards, and then I'm going to fill it, because we're going to have a lot of different people with different questions, and we need to take best advantage of the efficiency. So please write out your questions, hand them the cards. We've got some very capable young people here. Just hold it up in the air, and we'll pick it up from you, and then I'll go through and introduce the question. Let me now turn and introduce to His Excellency Minister Elinovsky. He is an economist by training and has been a businessman leading the public transport in Skopje, and came to politics with an idealism that I find so invigorating. Too much cynicism in a lot of developed countries, especially here, and to find the idealism in your words today, and it's quite thrilling. Minister Elinovsky came to this with the passion of a man who wanted to bring the best ideals of transatlantic cooperation to his own country, and he's pioneered that through his meteoric rise in the politics in Macedonia. So we're delighted to have him here today. We'll turn to you next to offer your remarks, Minister. Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Dr. Hammer, Secretary England, dear colleague and friend Fatmir. Ladies and gentlemen, I would also like to salute some of the people that I know, and especially I would like to salute my dear friend and teacher throughout the years when I was in the Atlantic Movement, Bob Hunter. Please, Bob, hi. It's a former U.S. ambassador to NATO and really one special pillar in our Atlantic world movement. I had my speech here, but I wanted to share some emotions with you today. I was first time with a national prayer breakfast. It was tremendous that more than 100 people from 160 countries in the world gathered in the Hilton, Washington, with the one idea. Idea was very well shared from all other speakers, and especially by the President Bush. It reminds me on the words of the President Woodrow Wilson, who once said that people sometimes call me idealist, but that is the way how I know that I'm American. And he ended with that America is the only idealistic country in the world. So he was right in that time. One century after, we can see that there are many other countries that are idealistic, especially in the Eastern Europe. We started on our path to independence as Macedonia. First time in the history we got independence in 1991, followed immediately the process of the Euro-Atlantic integration. It was very hard because it was a brotherhood bloodshed on the north, on the ex-Yugoslavia territories. We didn't enter in this war. We had some smaller conflict in 2001, but we entered and finished this with the biggest reform in our society called Ohrid Framework Agreement. And from then, our democracy flourished, and we are very happy to see that many citizens in the country are happy. They have their human rights. They deserved it, and especially together with the democratic economic reforms, we are going to broaden the space for democracy, because that is not there is no end of this process, as we say about transformation on the military size. And of course, from 1991 till now, in 2004 also, on 4th of November, when the Republic of Macedonia was recognized by the U.S., we were supported heartedly by the idealistic America. We were supported, and we know and we learned the same values and beliefs that we need to share with our allies. And we are trying still to learn. We are on the good path, on the good road, as Fatmir said. We are very optimistic that on 2008, one strategic goal will be improved for Macedonia, for Croatia, for Albania. And this is the NATO membership. NATO membership doesn't mean, I'm always saying that only getting some political goal, but for my people and for my country, and I believe for the whole people in the region, it means a civilizational achievement, because we will enter in the family of common values. We are learning those values. That's why we are together in Iraq, in Afghanistan. We are small countries, but we are contributing very committedly, and we know why are we here with the big allies, and especially with our strategic and even more of the strategic partner of the United States of America. So we entered from the military side in very deep reforms. We are at the end of, as we say, strategic defense review, which should end it on 2007. About when we speak about the transformation of force structure, we are about 90%. We have this year to finish it. We have fully improved our force structures. Also, we have implemented full professionalism. So we abolished conscript system in Macedonia. So from October last year, we are fully professional. We are also very much committed for having in mind that we are multi-ethnic society, that I'm always saying that's how the army of Macedonia should also be. So we have introduced many measures and programs in justified presentation of the many other communities in Macedonia society and in army. And of course we entered with all those very new processes in the military, especially when we speak about deployed forces, which is our main target, because I'm always saying today in the 21st century, there are two options for one modern soldier: to stay in the barracks or to go in the missions with his alliance to fight for the values of the modern democratic world. We have deployed our troops in three missions: in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and in Bosnia. And we are learning. This is our very, very important learning process for all of us and for our military. But it's not only learning process from the military side. It's very much political. But I'm always starting and finishing that it's very civilizational side, because I'm very glad that after 5 or 6 years after the Taliban regime, we can say that. Then it were only 2,000 schools in Afghanistan. We are speaking now today about 10,000 schools, which is tremendous progress. And we are believing, and we are very happy when we see this kind of successes. And of course, it's very much a saying that for us that we should stay on the line together with the allies until we don't succeed, that, especially in Afghanistan, as a NATO priority mission. We are also from the beginning in Iraq, together with the U.S. troops, from maybe with the first nations that entered in June 2003 in Iraq, and we are committing our contribution there with the special forces. And of course, in Bosnia, we are committing the contribution with the helicopter unit and the medical team. But of course, as Fatmir mentioned, it's very important for us because we are want to spread and share this spirit of the new realities and of the regional cooperation in the Balkans. That with this example that Fatmir also mentioned, that together with Albania, Croatia, and Macedonia, we are in the medical team within the Greek hospital. And all those years, especially after the assignment of the U.S. Adriatic Charter, we are seeing intensive, extraordinary regional cooperation between our three countries, but also it means that we should also involve the other countries, because the final goal and the final ideal for the Balkans is not that Macedonia or Croatia or Albania will enter in NATO and in Europe, but that whole region will be integrated in the civilizational Atlantic structures. So we are very much committed for the regional cooperation, because we know not only that we are all small countries, but we know that we should have excellent relations with our neighbors, because you cannot have good relations with your neighbors and want to have integration in the bigger system. So this is how we are improving also our capacities, that we are day by day more and more equal partner in the alliance, and we are, that's why, want to have and to see very fast this success, that all those meetings in the Washington here those days, I saw strong support from the American side. We are quite aware that we need to finish our, as we say, our homework about the domestic reforms. But it's quite clear that the support from the United States of America is valuable for us, and it's some kind of spiritual leadership for us. And that's why it is not, I will call now at the end, and after I hope that we'll have some also some more concrete questions to just to spread the debate. I will end on the words of President Kennedy and paraphrase him, that it's not that NATO can do for Macedonia, but what can Macedonia do for its alliance. Thank you.
Okay. It is delightful to be here, and Mr. Ministers, it's hard to call you ministers because, Fatmir, you've been a longtime friend here, and it's always wonderful to be with you, and Azar, a new friend, and I appreciate the opportunity to be with you both today. I also want to thank your embassies, and I also want to thank the people in Albania and Macedonia, because our friendships between our nations has been growing ever stronger. A lot of that is because of representatives here in Washington, but also because of the feeling between our people in each of our countries. I'd like to compliment the comments that were made by my colleagues here today with a few of my own perspectives and about how our common efforts can best address the larger security context that we all face together. First, as you know, this is indeed a critical time in world history. And it is a time going forward where no single nation, including the United States of America, can go it alone. Partnership is the cornerstone of our strategy as we go forward. And as Alexander the Great said, remember, upon the conduct of each depends the fate of all. And that could not apply any more today than it certainly did in the past, because we were truly in this together. In the security area, Albania and Macedonia, two former security assistants, what I would call consumers, have transformed themselves in an extraordinarily short period of time into direct contributors to global security, including our common efforts in this war on terror. And this includes making some very tough and difficult decisions at home, like freezing the assets of suspected terrorists, moving to downsize and reorient our militaries that were built for a different era. And it includes tough but the important choice to devote scarce resources to defense. And they actually, I believe, set the marker for most countries in NATO. Albania has committed to raising defense spending to 2% by 2008, and Macedonia is already well above that threshold. And there are not, that is the threshold for NATO. There's not many NATO countries today that meet that threshold. So I thank you for the leadership in that area. As players on the international stage, Albania and Macedonia are now helping extend the promise of freedom to those who have known too little of it as part of the coalition efforts in both Afghanistan and in Iraq. Albania was one of only a handful of partner countries to send combat troops to Iraq in the early stages of the fight. In 2003, about 70 Albanian commandos joined the 101st Airborne Division in northern Iraq and contribute directly to coalition efforts. Today, Albania has an even larger infantry presence in Iraq and contributes both special operation forces and medical expertise to our forces in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan. Albania continues to participate in the EU-led effort in Bosnia and Herzegovina. Macedonia, too, as you heard, supports the EU mission in Bosnia and hosted NATO forces supporting operations in Kosovo for 4 years. And Macedonia is contributing troops with key specialized skills to coalition forces on the war on terror, including special forces in Iraq and infantry and medical specialists in Afghanistan. And by removing national caveats in Afghanistan, Macedonia is very helpfully increasing commanders' flexibility and responsiveness. Last year, the Albanian representative to U.S. Central Command said, "Even the smallest birds want to fly." And these countries are beginning to soar. Now, the way forward doesn't necessarily look easy, but it does look bright. In today's highly complex global environment, Albania and Macedonia have further key contributions to make to both regional security and common global efforts. At the regional level, Albania and Macedonia, working with Croatia in the Adriatic Charter format, have the opportunity to strengthen political, economic, and defense cooperation within the Balkans region, as well as the integration of the region into broader European and transatlantic institutions, including NATO. NATO itself, the bedrock of the transatlantic partnership, is undergoing essential transformation. To meet today's more complex and geographically diffuse challenges, NATO is developing more expeditionary capabilities, the ability to respond quickly and effectively anywhere in the world, and it is a dynamic time to get on board. At the Riga summit last year, NATO welcomed the efforts so far by Albania, Croatia, and Macedonia to prepare, quote, for the responsibilities and obligations of membership. For its part, the United States has staunchly supported your progress so far and will continue to support your efforts as you prepare to make the strongest possible case for membership at the 2008 NATO summit. NATO's recent invitation to Bosnia and Herzegovina, Montenegro, and Serbia to join the Partnership for Peace program is indeed a reason for optimism and another concrete indication that the door remains open. Of course, as the Riga Declaration made clear, the hard work is not over. NATO does expect further progress on defense reform and the rule of law. Frankly, both areas require fundamental cultural change as well as adjustments on paper, and that will be a challenge. 2007 will be a pivot year for Albania and Macedonia, a time for hard work and hard choices. The good news is that the efforts will be well worth it because the benefits of a system based on the rule of law extend into every sector of society. Rule of law is the fundamental pillar of stability. It's necessary to protect the economic and social welfare of citizens, and is the most important incentive for fueling a prosperous market economy. The rule of law gives people reasonable confidence that their hard work and investment are more likely than not to pay off, and lets individuals' natural ingenuity flourish. The security partnership way forward also includes more specific considerations, like determining appropriate roles for Albania and Macedonia within a broader NATO framework. There's a lot of talk about the importance of interoperability, operating seamlessly together on the battlefield. Now, realistically, our defense budget in the United States far exceeds those of even our very, very close and large allies, and even the GDPs, frankly, of many of our close partners. So interoperability can't mean that we all buy the same thing. That's not going to be possible. Instead, it means thinking about capabilities in terms of broad portfolios and making sure that all the pieces fit. So as you heard earlier, for many countries, it means developing niche capabilities that are in high demand by NATO. And Albania is developing a deployable rapid reaction brigade, as well as other deployable capabilities, including MPs, EOD, special forces, engineers, and medical support. Macedonia is also focusing on special forces, MPs, and, as you heard, their helicopter rotary wing assets. So these are very welcome steps because they are needed niche capabilities in NATO. President Ronald Reagan said, freedom is never more than one generation away from extinction. We don't pass it on to our children in the bloodstream. It must be fought for, protected, and handed on for them to do the same. And that's the mission we all share today, all of our nations working together with a common mission. So I do thank you, Minister Medillo, Minister Milanovic, for your own personal commitments to freedom and liberty. I mean, you are quite exceptional. You know, I was thinking as I was having breakfast yesterday, the three of us had breakfast together, I was thinking, here are two ministers of defense. The oldest one is 40 years old, 40, and one is younger than 40. And I thought to myself, wow, what was I doing at that age? And then I thought, wait a minute. I'm 30 years older, and I'm still not a minister of defense. So these are obviously extraordinarily exceptional people who represent their countries, and I thank them. I thank them for what they do for their countries, what they have already accomplished, and the great future that they hold out for their nation because of their great leadership. And it's been an absolute pleasure for me to be here today with you both. Thank you.
Gordon, thank you. Very moving, and frankly, and if everyone would just indulge me for a minute, to a personal observation, I've not been very happy with politics in this country for the last year. And it's a country where our politics is obsessed with kind of getting even and scoring points and bitterness. You'd rather fight and lose on principle than compromise and win, you know, and for a better. And to be able to hear these guys talk about, you know, their real hopes to transform their countries to achieve something big and great is tremendous. I want to just personally thank you for both of your service. Now, we have lots of questions, and I'd like to frame the first one, which several of the questions have been around it. It's a kind of a tough question to both of you, and it rather stems off of a bit the comment I just made. Both America and Europe seem to be tired about the burdens of institutionalizing a larger Europe, and a larger Europe along the models that we strove for 40 years. Do you think Europe is ready to let Albania and Macedonia to become partners, security partners? And what should we be doing to help you as you are struggling to help yourselves here? Please, you start.
Thank you, Dr. As I mentioned when I was speaking, I don't think that there's only one country or group of countries that can make the world safe today, and a small country also can contribute to the peace and stability, first in its own country, then to the region and broader. And I think two countries here present an example in working together for peace and stability in the region, where NATO has been involved, security forces are still present in Kosovo, and we even reached beyond the region. So we went together with the SEDIM headquarter command, SIBRIC headquarter command in Afghanistan. We are present in Iraq. We are present in Afghanistan. So it looks that our commitment is not just working in our region, but also beyond our region. And we want to do that in partnership. Is U.S. tired? I cannot tell that from the meeting I had on these 2 days. We find a really, really strong support in the Hill, support in the State Department, great support in Pentagon. And I think this gives us a lot of responsibilities. Maybe the question of being tired or not has to do with some of ups and downs in our countries. So we have to find where our problems are, to putting the priorities right. And I believe that we need a clear action plan. We know that we cannot meet everything. We cannot be, you know, like France. We cannot be like Germany or Italy, but we can progress. We need to show that we have the vision. We can set the priorities right. And 2008 is so close. For me as a Minister of Defense, it's not 1 year. It's just, you know, 1 month. A lot of things going on. So I do believe that EU will profit most from membership of Croatia, Macedonia, Albania, tomorrow Serbia, Montenegro, and Bosnia-Herzegovina, Kosovo, all these countries being in EU. And we'll feel also the gap that is existing, Turkey, Bulgaria, and then Italy. So we need these countries, you know, are kind of bridges that can build all the relationships which are necessary. And I think, you know, I have been traveling a lot trying to reach out the other countries, European countries, trying to tell what we are doing, because sometimes nobody wants to hear a lot from a small country, you know. A bad thing always is in news, but a good thing never comes out. So trying to reach and tell to the ministers of defense. I had a great meeting with the Minister Leon-Marie, also with Minister Jung and Minister Parisi, and all this, you know, we are trying to build this relationship and trying to offer a partnership. And I think the only way we can make them feeling not tired any longer is offering them a partnership. But first of all, doing our homeworks.
Thank you. I agree with Fatmir. We are living together today in the 21st century with a completely new security environment, which means that all those definitions from the past have went, and they should stay in the past. Now the process, the right answer is that how many countries in the Atlantic family are seeing those changes, and how fast we are adapting to the changes, and and at the end how responsible we are towards the changes, especially towards the threats that we are all speaking, that are symmetric ones, they are global ones, and that we don't know from where it can appear. So from the other side, NATO is a security alliance, is built and is based, and we will never forget that it's based by the transatlantic link between the America and the Europe, and it should stay. And this is the only way of the success for all of us. Of course, there are some times that some countries don't feel the momentum of the challenges of the changes. But it's very important, especially it was well underlined on the Riga summit, that where also was again underlined the principle of solidarity, and especially on the case, this big test for all of us, the Afghanistan, that we need to, if we want to succeed in Afghanistan, we need to deploy more troops, and of course to speak in one voice. It also means, as Secretary England mentioned, that we need to move all those limitations on the operations on the ground, which have many countries put it as a national caveats. That's why even before Riga summit, we as Macedonia moved the national caveats, because we felt that this is the right thing, how we need to and how we can contribute for the faster success. Because I'm always saying, today, living in dynamic world, we are speaking also about dynamic risk. We had some opponents in the Macedonia, so big, of course, that were telling that lifting the national caveat, it will endanger our soldiers. This is true, but another truth is that without effective power in Afghanistan, and without success of the forces and troops in Afghanistan, we are speaking about delayed success, or we are speaking about delayed risk or continued risk. So for me, it's much more important that we will be very much concentrated and effective and finish the job in Afghanistan for 2-3 years, instead of having less effectiveness of our troops, being less responsible because of the situation. Demands that we need to really be quite concentrated and committed for the success and stay 20 years in Afghanistan. This is for me biggest risk for my troops and my soldiers on the ground. And it was an excellent example for me because I'm always sticking to this Japanese sentence that is saying that it's better to see once than to hear 100 times. I was on the beginning of my mandate in Afghanistan and I saw the situation on the ground, very different, not so much different, but you must feel it. It's very different than to read the reports in the cabinet, of course. And I knew, and the commanders are telling us that really, for example, when we speak about national cadets, we should move it. And we agreed, and as a government, we entered in action just 10 days before Riga summit. So I'm saying that we must be all aware from the both sides of the Atlantic of what are our challenges and responsibilities, and that's how we should approach to those challenges. Sometimes there are, of course, it's a politics. There are some misunderstandings, but the basic path for all of us is on sticking together on this transatlantic link and trying to spread all our common values that we are together in the alliance throughout the world. Thank you.
Thank you. Four of my colleagues here in the audience have written questions about Kosovo, and I'm going to frame it in a kind of bring them together because they're somewhat in different directions. But I'd like to bring them together, and I'd like to ask a kind of multi-part question. Is the formula that Martti Ahtisaari has worked out going to work? Do you think that it might lead to violence? And is this violence going to be containable, or do you think it will be a larger regional problem? Why don't you begin?
Yes, okay. About Kosovo, thank you for the question. This is a really important case now on the Balkans. But this is the case that I'm hearing from when I was a child. Maybe a few decades we are speaking about Kosovo in the region, and I know that really it's we are still really tired of this question. Somehow because, you know, it's as we are speaking about, for example, the Middle East. So we are living our lives in general are very short, so we cannot stand, especially today, that we will speak only on the some solutions without any end of some case. And really, it's especially the after 1999, we are a neighbor of Kosovo, of the territory that we don't know who is leading, who is governing. There are few levels of governing of Kosovo. UNMIK, KFOR, also the Kosovars with the government. But this is somehow shared responsibility. And when we have this kind of responsibility on few levels, we at the end know that there is no responsibility. And I think that this is the worst scenario, that status quo will stay. For example, as I'm just mentioning some options, will stay in Kosovo, and that we need also pressed by all the integration processes in the region, we need to go forward really, and position of Macedonia will, of course, as it was now, be very contributive. We will support the proposal of Mr. Ahtisaari, but also we need to believe in what are we, of course, doing. And what is very, and it's everywhere in the crisis regions, if you mentioned or Iraq or in Afghanistan or in Kosovo, it's when we speak about the stabilization and further development, it's quite clear for example, that the military can do something to some level, can stabilize the country, can start develop, but on short term. If we want to continue and to have long-term stabilization, which means, by default, development, then we need to, for Afghanistan, include the other international factors, as the United Nations and European Union. But, of course, we have moved much more further in Kosovo. At the end, you need the support from the local people. Without support of the local people, you cannot expect that this territory, this region, today in 21st century, when we live in a democratic world, wanting to implement democratic standards, cannot expect, and it's very logical, that something can be against the will of the local people and to work. So I think that we should all be aware in which direction Kosovo is moving, and it is good for all of us, I think. It's moving because it must move. This will be the last political line in the region, and it will be good for all of us because we will not speak anymore about, all those stereotypes that we spoke in the past. So it will be, of course, good also, I believe, even for Serbia, because on the single thought, imagine that, for example, can Kosovo stay under Belgrade authority? I think this is already some kind of artificial question, because it's really no logic, and we need to move very fast, because as we mentioned, we're in front of the integrations, we are in front of NATO, the three countries. Two of those countries are first neighbors to Kosovo. We are neighbor of Serbia, and we would like to our neighbors to have really good established road for its development. And it, at the end, will result in the common improvement of the common goal, which is integration of the whole region.
Thank you very much. I think giving an Albanian an answer as an Albanian, maybe it is easy, but seeing the complex theater in Kosovo, I also is Albanian government trying to see what kind of proactive role we can take on the situation that is in Kosovo. First of all, I think we have a de facto independence in Kosovo. You know, they are acting for a long period of time as state, different, with no connections with Serbia. Second, we have institutions that cannot exercise with a full authority because of certain restriction that they do have. We have a parliament voted, but they cannot, work on all the laws. It's the UNMIC administration somehow combines what's coming out, and also in the government. We do have the economy that is not working, is going really bad, and people are getting impatient, not just for only for the end state and final status of Kosovo, but also for their economy. We do have Serbs that don't feel safe, and they are not fully participating in the institutions. We have northern part of Kosovo, which are some bad signs that, Serbs are organized and even helped to be organized, that declaring de facto partition with Kosovo if Atisari will... The proposal of Atisari will be the independence of Kosovo. And we have Serbs in the other side, in Belgrade, which I do believe that political leaders in Kosovo, in Serbia, are using Kosovo as a tool to gain more power. This was obvious in last election. And also, why not delaying the process and waiting for a conflict that may happen in Kosovo, because people can get impatient. And it was seen that, some impatient brought certain bad situation in Kosovo. In my belief, and that's what the Albanian government thinks, and the Prime Minister Berisha, when he went in Kosovo, declared openly the parliament is independence conditioned with respecting the rights of Serbs and their culture and religion heritage. And he went even further, went to one of the monasteries, meeting with religion leaders and also Serb leaders, giving them all the support, even financial support to rebuild it, as an example of the approach that Albanians want to take toward the Kosovo future and the relation of multi-ethnic society in Kosovo. Why I'm mentioning multi-ethnic society? Because I mentioned this question of partition in northern part of Kosovo. I was speaking with the GFC Naples, with the people there that have troops in place. We, you know, we have the concern that something it may have. We need to see how we can control the situation. And if the Serbs will take an action on that direction, I think this will bring conflict. But more than conflict within Kosovo, it's going to set a bad example for the other countries around Kosovo, which are all multi-ethnic countries in somehow. So we don't have any clean ethnic country in the region. And that's why we have to be really focused. And this has been the policy of EU and United States, building multi-democratic societies in Albania, Macedonia, and the other countries in the region. I believe that the Azisari proposal is what we as Albanians support as well. And if, you know, we'll have also a problem with the position that Russia is taking, if Russia is going to take a veto in the Security Council, then what's going to happen? I think, you know, Kosovars have no choice. They have to declare their own independence, and they have to see how they can recognize independence one by one with the countries that will recognize that. On the other hand, we have now Koštunica that is saying, you know, I don't want to participate in the government with any party which do build a relationship with the countries that recognize the independence. So it's more in one side political tool, and on the other side, I think it's more a way of living and having a future. And based on that, I think the Albanian government will be fully support on the Azisari proposal and also always pushing Kosovar leaders to understand that their future is well connected with Serbs in Kosovo and with Serbs as neighbors, which has to do with the economy and the political stability in the region.
If I may just add, because I didn't explain the last question, do we expect some conflict? We don't expect any conflict, and we don't believe that something can appear of that kind, because really the region is very much changed. And it is good from the other side that the democratic forces won the elections in Serbia. It was also good that part of the Albanians in South Serbia joined the elections, and they also voted, which is a good sign. And from the other side, we are here as Macedonia, and I know as Albania, having in mind that we have been in Partnership for Peace from 1995. We are here to offer, and we offered the assistance for example, concretely military, but also the other reforms, and for Serbia, and for Kosovo, and for Montenegro, and for Bosnia and Herzegovina. So this is the way how the things are really moving in the region. We don't expect that something can happen from some security threat in the region. And at the end, the politics will prevail, and will continue with integration.
We're really quite at the end of the hour, and we said we would hold you. But I have one very, very interesting question I'd like to pose, and maybe your answers could be short, because I know you have to leave, and I apologize for doing it. And that is, what have your respective forces been learning in Afghanistan, cooperating with NATO, that now you need to take back and gives you a clue on the hurdles you still have to work through in order to get accession? What are you learning from your Afghan experience?
I just can tell, you know, that a lot of people see this contribution in Iraq and also in Afghanistan as just something that we want to show to the allies that we are able to participate in partnership. But the main element that we get in the reforms of our armed forces are the lesson learned. Mm. So I can tell you the best people we have in the armed forces are the people that are in these missions. And when they come back, they are really a great resource for our forces. And the lesson learned is something that really, you know, helps the reforms in our armed forces. About Afghanistan, we have troops there. We do have, you know, this medical team, which is example of, you know, A3 cooperation, which is a kind of niche, but it's working pretty well because the needs on this direction are very, I think, very helpful for the troops and also for the civil population on the area. And on the other hand, we are along with the Turkish troops in Kosovo, in Afghanistan. The problem is that the Turks have their own caveat. They don't fully operate because of their relationship with Afghanistan. So we have a caveat because of this relation, and that's what we have to solve. I've been speaking with the Minister of Defense of Turkey. And also we have capabilities that we can offer, more troops in the ground, but we cannot offer more without solving this caveat situation that we already have with Turks. That's what we are trying to work. What else we need to work? We have a lot, I think, of the list that we can put is, in the reforms of the armed forces is a big list. You know, in Albania, we're starting and changing from the different services to joint force command, but also changing the mentality, having a joint mentality in it. Full professional force by 2010, which is the real challenge in an armed force, from conscript to the full professional force. Also, modernizing the armed force. We spoke about budget. But one of the main questions is not just getting the money, but how wisely we are spending the money. Are you spending this in the right direction or not? And let's say, not lucky enough, we are just in beginning waiting to have gifts from all the countries which were giving us the support. And we are having, let's say, 85 different vehicles for the transportation and things like that we cannot maintain. So the question is to have a smart idea. The gifts cost more than buying the new things. That's the biggest situation we are having right now. So we are trying to focus that everything we have is self-sustained, is strong, can guarantee the sovereignty of the country, and also can contribute to the peacekeeping operation. That's my point. And you are right. You know, I'm not just losing the elections. I'm losing the plane tonight as well.
Okay, Fatma, I'll make my words short. we are learning very, very much. This is the most valuable part of our army, because those young guys, young officers, first they know excellent English. They are on the ground and they are seeing what is today's military, modern military. They know today much more than their older colleagues and officers from that side. So this is very, very important. How we will continue with the military reforms, because something that we saw those years is telling us that also with the force structure, with the strategic defense review, we should have some review, because when you see the things really how are on the ground, you are trying to find the better ways and more effective ways. How can you do your, for example, logistic reform? Or how you can do your training and education, also reform. How your personal management system should better work. What are the other systems inside about the promotion, about many other things in the military. So it's the most valuable part. I'm always saying they are our modern heroes, and really Macedonia should be glad and. To have them, because this is our biggest international contribution for the whole democratic family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I think it was commonly said, you know, that we're all victims of globalization, these big forces moving us around. But I think we've heard this afternoon the difference that leadership makes. Leadership really can shape our future. I think we've seen leaders today in action. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you all. Thank you.